Hello, Alec.
David was singing your praises earlier. He said there isn't a better person to learn from about value investing than Piet Viljoen in South Africa. He says you're a purist. Are you still a purist in the value game,
I am.
Piet?
I'm one of the last purists out there. There's not many of us left. So I'm not sure there's many people who want to learn value investing at this point.
It's been an incredible journey that you've had in the most recent years. And if value investors were to have found one stock that they would have gone for during all of this time, or one of the stocks, and I've asked you to have a look at Tiger Brands.
Yes.
I know you like it a lot. Maybe you can just explain to us why and what the heavens has gone on there.
I think I should just put a caveat to that. I used to like the stock a lot up until about 10 years ago. Used to be one of my favorite stocks. It's one of those businesses which are very fashionable today. They're so-called quality businesses that have strong brands, operated high margins, that have stable earnings. You know, these days, most portfolios are filled with these sort of things. Globally, I'm talking companies like Nestle and that sort of thing. So it used to be a company like that. But then it decided instead of investing behind its brands, it would start making acquisitions mainly into Africa. So it was acquiring other business in Africa. That started about 2011, 2012. And that's when I personally started getting very worried about the business and started divesting because of the acquisition strategy. And that has turned out, now with the benefit of hindsight, to have been a very poor strategy. So if you look at the earnings over the last 10 years since 2010, so 9 years worth of earnings, earnings per share now, well, at September 2019, at their last year end, are lower than they were in September 2010. So they've actually gone backwards over the past 9 years.
Just explain that again. The profits are lower now than they were 10 years ago.
On a per share basis, the earnings are lower now than they were 10 years ago. And so are their dividends. So you can see that there's been a massive erosion of the brand premium they used to be able to charge because they didn't invest behind the brands and they rather chose to make acquisitions and buy companies in other jurisdictions. And sadly, that's been the death knell, not the death knell, but it's been a strategy of many South African companies, and 99% of them have lost a lot of money with that strategy, and Tiger Brands no exception.
So 10 years ago, there we got it on the screen, the share price was 157 Rand. Today, the share price is 155 Rand. So if you'd put money into this company 10 years ago, you would be wishing today you'd put it into a bank account.
Yeah, and it should have been the sort of company that compounded the earnings quite steadily over time because it sells stuff people want to buy and it can charge a premium for those things because it's a branded business. And it should have been a fantastic outperformer over the past 10 years, but the corporate strategy, I think, failed them. There's one other point I think I'd like to make. If you read their latest annual report, the remuneration review runs for 25 pages and you can't make out what's going on there. The CEO's review of the business runs for 4 pages. The section titled Addressing Material Stakeholder Interest runs for 3 pages. And the company performance runs for 11 pages. So the things that are really material to shareholders, to communicate with shareholders and tell them what's going on in the business, runs for 18 pages. But the remuneration report runs for 25 pages. It's so complicated, nobody can make up what's going on there. And despite the fact that EPS is lower now than it was 10 years ago, executive remuneration is up 60% over that period. So it's a poster child for everything that's wrong.
Everything that's wrong with capitalism?
No, with the way company executives are remunerated, which is nothing to do with the performance of the business. I mean, those things have been divorced. So it's a poster child for the divorce of executive remuneration with company performance.
Just have a look on the screen now, Piet, if you would. This is from their latest set of results, their half year to the end of March.
Mm.
There we go, 557 million rand that's been written off through bad investments that have been done in the past. Now, why I mentioned capitalism a little bit earlier, surely capitalism is supposed to be all about managers working for shareholders, shareholders getting cross and then bringing management to account. What happens in a business like this?
Look, I think there's a whole bunch of strands here, but I think the most important thing is that this poor performance is reflecting the share price. I mean, the share price has been underperforming the average company out there for 10 years now as well. So capitalism works. Remember, the capital markets are there to allocate capital to those that deserve to take that capital and grow it over time and allocate it away from those that don't. And capital has been allocated away from Tiger Brands for 10 years now. The share price is a third of what it was 5 years ago. So capitalism works. It just sometimes takes a long time to come to where it should be. But I think coming back to the acquisition story, I think that's always a red flag. when companies go out there and make big company transforming acquisitions into different jurisdictions, the base rate of success in those sort of acquisitions is negligible. So I think that's always a red flag, and it's always a sign that one should probably walk away from a company. But remember also that at the time, in 2011, 2012, 2013, it was very fashionable to invest into Africa. The investment banks were all running around selling African funds to investors. Lots of companies were investing into Africa. And, you know, 5 years later, it's very fashionable to invest into the UK or Australia. Companies do these things when they're fashionable and the short-term shareholders approve them. The share price of Tigers went up when they bought Dangote originally. It was seen as an exciting development.
The real question is, have they rock bottomed yet? And I've put that graph from the Tiger Brands presentation up on the screen. Market shares under pressure across the board. Every single area of their business, their market shares have fallen year on year. So clearly they haven't quite gotten to the worst spot yet.
No, I don't think you can say that that is the bottom, that, you know, it looks like it's continued to decline. I think it's the same board, or largely the same board in charge, largely the same management team in charge. And until you see a large-scale clearing out and refocusing your business behind investing behind the brand, going back to that strategy, I don't think you can say that it's reached bottom by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, Pitch, what has reached bottom? Last time we spoke, we were quite excited about what looked good in South Africa. Well, we've had some big wipeouts. I hope you bought Sasol at 28 Rand.
So what looks good in South Africa, as I said a few months ago, before the whole COVID, I was excited about the prospects for investments in South Africa because I thought they had reached quite low levels. Obviously, through the market correction and crash in SA Inc. things in March, they've become even cheaper. So all that means to me is that the prospect of returns are higher. But that comes with a big caveat, and that is if this economy actually recovers. And I think the jury is still out on that. That still needs to happen. So if the economy goes into a complete tailspin and we go down the Venezuela / Zimbabwe route, then you're not going to make any money at all from investing in SA Inc. Even though good banks trading on PEs of 4 look like investment bargains, but if we go that route, then all bets are off.
How high would you put that risk?
I think that risk is not negligible. I think there's at least a 20% chance of us going down that road.
That's a very high 1 in 5.
Yeah.
Like a 5-to-1 shot at the races. You would definitely not discount
it. 4-to-1. It's a 4-to-1.
4-to-1 shot. Even worse.
20%.
So what do you do then as a South African who's trying to protect your wealth if you have these big question marks?
I would say, look, if you take a step back and look at the global landscape at this point in time, what is cheap? Emerging markets are cheap. Both the assets and the currency are cheap. They are cheap in historical terms, long-term historical terms, super cheap. Small caps are super cheap. Our currency is undervalued and our company is undervalued for very understandable reasons, but it's the same in Brazil. It's the same in Russia. It's the same in Mexico, and they've got other problems, different problems, not the same problems as us, but these assets are all cheap because they are emerging market assets and the world has turned off of those assets at this point in time. So for a South African investor, I would allocate a portion of my assets towards emerging market assets, of which South Africa is one, but I would probably have the bulk of my assets offshore, because when you build a portfolio, you don't put everything in the cheapest asset, because that asset has risk attached to it. I think you allocate some of your capital towards the cheaper side of the market, but you also, with your portfolio of assets, you try and diversify and you try and protect as well. And therefore, I think a significant offshore exposure is sensible at this point in time.
Len Giovanni wanted to know, will the negative attitude worldwide and the U.S., in other words, this new Cold War that is now coming to the surface between America and China, going to affect Alibaba and Tencent and, by definition, Naspers?
It could. There are many ways in which it could affect it. I think if there is a massive trade war between the U.S. and China, I think Chinese assets and companies could be constrained in how they operate in the world. That's a possibility. I think one also has to be cautious of the ownership structure of Chinese assets. When you buy a share in Tencent, you do not own equity in the business. You own a piece of paper, which is a contract that the Chinese government has awarded to a Hong Kong-listed entity that gives it some of the cash flow out of the Chinese business. That contract has not been tested under pressure in court, ever. And as trade pressures intensify and those sort of things, those contracts could become the subject of test cases in court, which one might or might not win. I don't know. But I think that is a significant risk, which nobody talks about, but it's there. And I think if one is an investor, you need to take cognizance of these risks. Make no mistake, Tencent is a wonderful business, a fantastic business. Alibaba, fantastic business. And these businesses could be the next game changers. Well, they're already big game changers, but they could be generational game changers. However, one has to, again, just like you wouldn't put all your money in South Africa because it's cheap, you probably wouldn't put all your money in those businesses because they are so good, because there are risks attached to them.
Petrillion, just before you go, Pet, how's the merger with Counterpoint going? Is it settling down yet?
It's going very well, actually. It's a good team of people. We think broadly similar, although there are some different points of view, which is always very healthy. But we've been working very well together. As luck would have it, we started the merger on the 1st of March, and then we had the whole COVID thing. So we've all been working remotely and communicating often and well, and it's gone very well. So, and it's a good bunch of people. I'm enjoying working with them, and I hope I can say the same for them.
Pet Viljoen from ReCM, and the recent deal we were talking about there was the merger with Counterpoint. Thanks, Pet, for joining us today.